Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Howdy, happy Friday.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Welcome to the show. What a crazy week. In this episode, Jill and I talk about flip acreage for the cash and then finance the smaller deals out to establish that income stream. Cool show, man. This is a good little it's a good assessment to our basic roadmap. Before we get into it, first let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Luke.
Luke.
It sounds like we have 80 Lukes.
We have two vocal Lukes. Or maybe
three. Luke asked, when pulling data, is there a difference between land that is labeled as vacant in county data versus land that is 0% improvement value? If not, really why not just select all the property types and 0% improvement value? What a smart question.
This is a PhD level
yes.
question. And I know it's
I know who it is
the
too.
Newer Luke. And that's a great question. I'm going to answer it in detail, probably to the point where Jill's bored.
Hey, I have a magazine right here somewhere. Hold on.
So when you go to pull data out of RealQuest, which is part of our membership subscription, RealQuest Pro, he's exactly right. I'm going to answer the first question. What's the difference between vacant property, right? That's the use. So there's uses of property, vacant property, single family residential, agriculture, heavy industrial, cemetery, hospital. There's tons of zoning slash use types in any given county. So he's asking, what's the deal? Why don't I just pick all the vacant property he's asking vacant county data versus land with a, you know, percentage on it. So the second part of this is that zero improvement value means this. There's no assessed value for any improvements on the property. This could be in the middle of town, right in the smack middle of an urban area. There could be a completely unimproved property. The improvement value is zero. It doesn't have to be a structure. Improvement value could just be the sewers are hooked up to it. Or there's a slab on it for a mobile. That's improvement value, and it's going to get assessed that way if the assessor finds out about it. So, which is, by the way, why you have to pull permits. That's the reason the county really wants to pull permits. One of the main reasons is so they can tax it properly. So, why not just say all types with zero improvement value? Well, and some people do. You're going to send a lot of mail out that you know people are just going to crumble up and throw away. And that's the reason. You want to surgically strike. You want to spend the smallest amount of money on postage to get the greatest yield. And for us, I have a thing with industrial property. We never buy it. I never even send a letter to it. So I take all the industrial property out. I take all the cemeteries out. I take all the hospitals out. So that's the reason. It might be zoned for a healthcare facility, but have 0% value. You don't want to send that person a letter.
Mm-hmm.
You're just wasting 50 cents or whatever it costs. 48 cents. Go ahead, Jill.
I say, think about who your buyer is. That's the real thing. Most of what we're doing, we're buying for someone who's going to use it for a retirement, for cabin, for it's some kind of recreational use usually, or a full-time living. So think about your buyer. Now, if you're really out there buying for a hospital or an airport, all right, now we're going to do some different things. But I think that's what Jack's trying to say. I'm thinking about the property use, and I'm taking all the other stuff out.
Exactly. So the flip side of that too is you don't want to just select vacant. I've seen people do this. This is a very typical mistake for even seasoned people. If you just say, oh, I'm only going to select vacant land with zero improvement value because I really want to rush through this data scrub because I don't care. I don't want to do this. And I see this happen a lot. And you're missing probably 50%, maybe mm-hmm. more, of the huge, huge opportunities that exist.
If I don't select data, Jack, what else stuff's going to pop up? I know if I don't select it.
Oh, dream it up. Commercial, mobile.
True.
You know, Jill, you and I have been saying this to each other all the way through. Mobile home, mm-hmm. property that is designated as mobile, sells the minute we buy it.
It does. For retail
value. People living in mobile homes already have, and this is my opinion, we're going to get a lot of emails on this. Get ready. People who live in mobile homes have a lot figured out in my mind in a real positive way. Mm-hmm. It's extremely inexpensive. People who are buying $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $800,000 houses so that they can have a big mortgage and a huge yard, I question that. Mm-hmm. But people who live in a mobile home and they're paying a pad fee, $200 or $300 a month, they can't wait to move that mobile home or get another one and slap it on a piece of dirt that they own outright for $5,000 or $6,000 or $10,000 and never pay that pad fee again.
Exactly.
And that's why we can't keep them in. Mm-hmm. I've looked into buying a big piece of property and just designated a bunch, not even doing any improvements to it, but designate a bunch of them as just mobile pads. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, it's a growing thing too. I mean, let's talk real quick. The whole tiny house movement, if you watch those shows, in case you hadn't noticed, there's wheels on those things. They are buying these homes that are pre-built somewhere, and they're hauling them somewhere and putting it on the property, and they're all ready to go. I mean, they don't even need to plug anything in. There's solar. They have their water trucked in. Some have collection things that they do on their own. It's beautiful. So that's a whole community of people, of your buyers, that want these commercial properties. Yeah. It has to be designated that way so they can put that kind of establishment there. And it's fun, interesting because, yeah, I early in my career, I learned about that. I didn't know because I thought, well, so what? You own the property. What do you mean I can't just put a wheel something up my RV and leave it there for a year? No, you can't. There's a lot of counties and cities that have rules against site built, slab built, and all that kind of stuff.
Modular.
They have rules against that. So when you have that kind of a property, it's super exciting and valuable. Mm-hmm. And like Jack and I talk about, often it's easier to zone down than it is to zone up. So if you have commercial, you can usually go down to, I want to build a cabin and pour a slab. But if you have a cabin property and you want to make it an RV park, that's going to be harder to do.
Yeah, and make no mistake, that changing the zoning on anything up or down is a long-term endeavor.
Right.
Trust me.
Yeah, it's not a five-minute phone call and you fill out a form and write a check for $12.
If somebody finds a county like that that allows that still, please keep it to yourself because you're about to retire.
But call us.
Yeah. Yeah, but call me personally.
Exactly.
I'll help you.
There we go.
So that's the whole deal. And it's such an important question. There's just a lot of different property types that get overlooked, I think mostly due to laziness, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just because it says vacant land. Oh, that's what I want. That's what I do. Vacant land. No. There's all kinds of types of property you should be buying. Yep. And some you should stay away from. Did I sufficiently bore you there? Mm-hmm.
No, you did great. Now you're perfect.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on successplant.com.
Today's topic is, can I jump in?
Yeah.
Flipping acreage. Yeah, this will be fun. Flip acreage, then finance the smaller lots. Great show, Jack. I love this topic. Take it away.
So here's the deal. You're going to send a bunch of mail out, right? And you're going to send offers, and they're going to come back. Lots of them are going to come back signed, or a certain percentage anyway. Some are going to be 40 acres, 80 acres, 100 acres, 160. And some are going to be smaller, like 1 acre with some type of attribute, let's say in northern Michigan or a vacation spot. Maybe it's Florida. And you spend $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 for these vacation lots, we're going to call them. And you spend about $100 to $200 an acre for larger acreage properties. So if you're buying an 80 acre property for $8,000 and you sell it, you double your money, like our business model says, for 16. Now you've got $16,000 to play with. What do? You go spend $1,000 on 16 properties and sell them on terms. So now you have 16 separate income streams coming in, assuming you're doing good, making good acquisition decisions, instead of just that one on that 80 acre property. So that's what I mean by flip the acreage for cash and then finance the smaller lots. The numbers are staggering. And we have multiple members who are just floored by this whole concept. And I wasn't super clear about it when we started the company a couple of years ago, but because it just made so much sense to me in my silly accounting way of thinking things.
It's not silly.
So, yeah, flip as much acreage as you can right in the beginning and amass a ton of money and then go buy 1, 2, 3 acre properties that are, people are really going to use as they're going to use. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to put a ranch up or something.
You know what I love about this in our online community? I don't know if it's, we have a member area, it's like our pro area, and then we have a regular area. I don't remember which, but we have members that are sharing their numbers in here, and I love that they do that.
It's staggering.
They'll put in there, I've got, because you can, they're doing it exactly right. It's like every month they're kind of adding a property on terms, right?
That's it.
So they go from, okay, month one, I'm getting $200 a month in payment. Now month two, I just add a property. Now I have $400 a month. And then, you know, by the end of the year, now I've got $2,400 a month coming in. And I did it very slow, very methodically, adding a property a month, $200 in payments. And like, oh my gosh, I got $2,400 coming in and I do nothing. You know, okay, now let's do this. If you never change your pace.
Working on Sunday.
Yeah, in 2 years, you got $5,000 coming in and you're doing nothing.
And in 4 years, you have 10. That's mm-hmm. the whole point. That's the name of the program.
Yep.
But, you know, in 5 years, if you do this way part-time and really just aren't real vigilant about it, it turns out a lot of people are a lot more vigilant about
getting out of their job. Oh my gosh, yeah, they're like going crazy.
You know, you can do it fast.
Yeah.
You could cash flow within 45 days and be completely done within, let's say, 50 months. Let's, mm-hmm. I mean, 60 months. So like 5 years. You can be completely done in 5 years.
That's really the best way, you know, to build up these payments. And then when you have so many to imagine you have 25 payments. If something happens and one falls off, big deal.
Sell it again.
It's not gonna make her not gonna break the bank.
We have properties that go out like that. They get, if I say the word foreclosure, we didn't foreclose on them. People just stopped paying.
Right.
We resell property like that every single month.
Yep.
You know, we have tons of property like that.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
So do our members.
Yeah. It's great. And then the bigger ones, what you keep doing is you keep some money back. You keep your acquisition funds healthy so you can keep buying more.
Yep.
You know, and keep that coming in. So it's the best.
In the beginning, what I say is do 2 cash sales to every 1 term sale. And make sure that the bigger cash deals are cash and the small ones are terms. Mm-hmm. Because on a terms deal, you better, the highest quality property that you have should theoretically be sold on terms. Someone's going to drive their car up there on a weekend with their family, you know, pitch a tent, put an RV on it, have a blast, and use the property. So you want to make sure that they can get to it. It's not a massive, you know, you just want to do the right thing about it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I look at too sometimes I think about those, like if it all goes, I hope it does go sideways because I want to spend some time on there, you know, seriously.
No, Jill and I have the truth is we have
a couple like that.
No sale property that we'll never sell.
Mm-hmm.
Like right out of a postcard property.
It's gorgeous. We may never use it, but the option's there.
Yeah.
It's paid for. That's the beauty of this too.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything, if I ever needed cash, not that I ever do, but if I did, I could just go sell something.
We have a guy, he dropped off the radar, but this is what he got involved with our group because he wanted to buy a canal front lot in Florida. And he had the subdivision all picked out. And he called me specifically before he bought the program to ask me these questions. Well, here's my whole goal. I want to buy, do exactly what you guys are talking about. I'm going to send everybody an offer in this whole subdivision. I'm going to buy one property for half. I'm going to sell it and use all the money to buy a lot that I want to live on. And that exact thing happened. But now it's his whole business.
Exactly.
Because he's like, this is, you know, these are.
Why would I stop? These are now I'm the pro.
$150,000 lots that he was buying for $50,000.
Yep.
50 to 70,000, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not those numbers.
Isn't that funny?
Specific, but man,
that makes me crack up. The people that we don't hear from them, because then we know what's going on.
Yep.
He's gonna pop up at some point when there's something huge, big, astronomical, and say, "Hey, you guys want to do this with me?" Heck yeah!
Jill and I are working on some really big ranch deals in California right now. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how much. It's amazing to me that people are just done with their property.
Right.
And they're just waiting for the check. Yep. And it's half of what it's worth, sometimes less.
Yep. We're going to do, I'm looking forward to this what we have coming up here on our new plan, because we're going to do some grassroots stuff. We're going to spend some time in the county, you know, and we're going to share all that. It's going to be some really good.
Yeah, good content's coming your way.
Uh-huh.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day, even on Fridays, to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You've got such cool stuff coming up.
I know. I can't wait.
I'm so excited about this.
I know. Some of the... I don't have a film guy to follow us everywhere yet, but yeah, it's coming. Because there's going to be some really good stuff. I am excited. That was a good show.
Yeah.
I hope... And you're right. You know, it's funny. Sometimes these subjects are second nature to us. And when I describe it, I have to take a step back and make sure I'm defining it correctly.
Right.
Because it is a little hard to grasp. But I'm sure when you first, you know, gave this whole topic to me and said, you know, we're going to sell this one this way and this property that way. And I'm sure I had to take a step back and go, you know, why or what or how? Why would I just flip them all and just have a big bank balance? Don't I want $100,000 in the bank? You would think that. Mm-hmm. But you don't want $100,000 in the bank staring at you.
No,
you never. You want 25 years of, $2,000 a month. That's better.
Yeah, you don't want to. That's a good point. You don't want to have lots of cash. I mean, it's counterintuitive. Everybody wants to have a lot of cash, but you really need to be putting it. When you know how to use it, like that's we all do in this group, you want to have most of it, you know, in working for you.
Exactly. You're speaking to me personally there, I know, because I get hung up on that too in our personal world.
Yeah.
So.
That's okay.
Thank you.
No, so I'm not speaking to you at all.
Jack, I'm spending money as fast as I can.
you know what? You are the best. I am gonna, this is a compliment, seriously.
Thanks.
I have never met a woman in my life who is better with money than you.
Thank you.
That's from start to finish.
I have come a long way, baby. Let me tell you. Oh, boy, have I.
Oh, man. So your dad got the brother when you were a kid.
Oh, boy. Whew. Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, don't change a thing, Jill.
Thanks.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price, just so we can flip it for way more.
And really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.